Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is 7-5 again. Oh no!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Raider Troy Radio, episode 538. Coming to you on Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. We're gonna look at our dream team, our USC dream team on defense. Defense this week, offense next week. We're going to pick our dream team of post-2000, a.k.a. the 21st century Trojans, I guess you could say. We're going to put that all together, create a dream team this week and next week. Defense starting first this week. Also, in our Big 10-minute segment, we're going to get to know Indiana, everyone's favorite cream-colored school. Cream. Where are you? Indiana and Oklahoma. Who does cream better?
Oklahoma.
Wow.
I'm loath to say it, but I associate Oklahoma with cream far more than I associate Indiana, to be fair.
Yeah. I feel like I associate with the state of Wisconsin with cream. However, of course, the Badgers do not use cream in their color palette. But nonetheless, welcome to Raider Troy Radio. Thank you, everybody, for joining us live on YouTube or listening to us wherever you get your podcast. Big shout out to everybody in the chat. Kenny says USC volleyball championships, champions 4 years in a row. The women of Troy, beach volleyball.
That's four. For the viewers on listening on podcast, I'm holding up four fingers to fight ons. Make four fingers. It's pretty awesome.
You don't want to put your fours up?
I do not want to put my fours up. I was definitely not putting fours up, for the record.
I do think it's hilarious that beach volleyball and water polo, two sports in which no team outside of the state of California has ever won a national championship.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Even water polo?
Water polo. No school outside of California has ever won.
Dang.
Ever.
Well, you know, I mean, the
volleyball more likely to happen because I think like Florida State has a team and stuff like that. But like water polo
is not limited by climate,
but it is.
I mean, yes, to a certain degree it is, but far less than
beach volleyball. They're not playing hockey in Yuma. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing stopping anybody from building a hockey rink in Yuma, Arizona, but you know what
I mean. The city of Phoenix used to have a hockey team.
Point made. Thank you for just making the point.
Yeah.
Anyways, as always, you can follow us on Twitter, Raider Troy. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/RainerTroy. Email address, RainerTroy@fanside.com. And our phone number, 818-643-7227. Second Woods Bruin Show. I'm your host, Mike Garcia, along with my co-host here in the Raider Troy studio, Alicia Arizona.
That was so fast, I couldn't even get in my Second Woods Bruin Show.
Well, there you go. Gotta be speedy.
Like a person doing the disclaimers on a pharmaceutical company commercial.
Nausea, heart pain, heart palpitations, depression, whatever.
I was saying nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Yes, exactly. Those. You're way better at that than I am. Either way. Who is going to be better at picking a perfect defense? A USC defense, all-time defense. Not really. Post-2000s. We're going to do the dream team. All right, here we go. Let's start with the Dream Team. What are we talking about with the Dream Team? Alicia, we put together a criteria, and I think it works. Rather than just saying, who's the all-time greatest USC team of all time, I think you need to make it a little bit more interesting. So we are going to pick the USC Dream Team. Peak of their the players' peak of their powers as Trojans, obviously. Yes. We're not going to say that like they're going to go out and suit up tomorrow, but literally, if there was a time machine and everybody was at peak of their powers tomorrow, that's how we're picking this.
Right.
But since the year 2000, so 2000 and onward, and the premise is they've got to go win a one-game playoff playing today's football under today's coaching staff.
Yeah, so it's not just picking like the greatest Trojans of this century. It's about thinking about what skill sets you want to win a game now, mm-hmm. thinking about which players will suit the current coaching staff potentially, the way that they like to play, the formations that they play. There's sort of style put into it a little bit. There's just sort of individual game greatness, I think, is also like mm-hmm. you didn't have to have a sustained career in order to be somebody who could be valuable for this particular exercise.
Yeah, 100%. When we get to it, when we get to first half defensive ends, I pick Christian Rector. Like, that's it. He's only going to play in the first half.
Single game. Have Christian Rector play one half, have Sua Cravens play the other half, and you're golden.
Yeah, and Cam Smith only plays against Utah.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. And when we get to offense, Aga Cedric Ware only plays against Arizona.
Yes. Only Arizona.
And we're golden.
Yes.
We're golden. All right. Let's get to it. The USC Dream Team of the 21st century. Let's start on defense. Ladies and gentlemen, with the defensive end spots. Alicia, who is your first pick? Your first player at defensive end?
Defensive end, I went with Clay Matthews. I mean, if we're saying that defensive end is essentially just an edge defender in the Danton Lynn defense, I think that Clay Matthews as a pass rushing force, as somebody who can control the edge, would mm-hmm. just be so invaluable. I think Clay Matthews is your Leah Tulatu in this defense.
I think that's an interesting comparison there. So the way that we're setting up the defense, we're going on the front. We almost sort of just ripped off the Danton Lynn depth chart, but made a little bit of adjustment because the Danton Lynn depth chart essentially is a 5-2, but it doesn't exactly run like a 5-2. So we're going one end, two tackles, an edge, and then a Will, Mike, and Sam. And then we're also going with the nickel to make it 12 players on defense, sort of an alternating nickel package there. But I struggled because we have one defensive end spot and one edge spot. Obviously, those two are slightly interchangeable. Clay Matthews was a guy who famously played sort of as a stand-up edge at SC. SC developed that guy, sort of the elephant man, mm-hmm. Started off with Brian Cushing, and then ultimately ended up being Clay Matthews in 2008, right? So I was very tempted to say Clay Matthews as well, but I'm going to go with BKU. Kenichi Udeze, 26 and a half tackles for loss in 2003. Wild Bunch 2, a true defensive end. My only concern about this pick is he's a true 4-3 defensive end. I think you can make the argument that that isn't necessarily a stylistic player that thrives in today's game, given the stylings and the workings of this defense. But I think BKU is so good, he's going to make it work. He's going to make it work somewhere on the defensive line at the end spot, somewhere in a gap somewhere.
I mean, he's a great player, the kind of player that if Danton Lynn had to deal with having him on his roster, I think he would find a way to fit him into this defense.
Yeah,
I considered him more for one of the tackle positions. then I wasn't even thinking about him as one of our edge defenders in this defense. But I don't think it would be bad to have him on the football field.
It would be interesting to see where he would play today, because it might be a tackle spot.
Yeah,
like you said, let's get. Well,
they might. I mean, they would have him bulk up a little bit, I think, and have him inside.
I mean, famously, he was bulking. I mean, yes,
but he got pretty svelte at right. SC, and they could sort of have him bulk up a little bit to if they needed him to play tackle. But the way that he played for USC, you're right, he was defense man.
Yeah, I think he could play defensive tackle, but I love my defensive tackle so much in this defense that I've put together.
Yeah.
There's no way he's unsettling either one of those guys. Let's get to your first defensive tackle. Who do you got?
I got Sean Cody.
Your favorite.
Yes. Good old Sean Cody. Because of my second pick, I wanted somebody who was just sort of big, stout defensive tackle that that can be in there and do all elements of the job. Sean Cody proved across his career that he is just a reliable, productive, fierce, determined defender, and you need those in to play good defense.
Yeah, this was. I think that's a very good pick, Sean Cody. The biggest gets for Pete Carroll to sort of start the process of rebuilding after taking over the job at SC, and easily can make this team. I just have to go with the guy who followed him. I've got to go with Cedric Ellis. Cedric Ellis, for me at the time, the best defensive interior lineman I've ever seen play in college football, at least at SC. Not college football at large. I won't go that far. But at SC, I think he was even better than Sean Cody and Mike Patterson. Not as iconic in terms of value, because Sean Cody was so pivotal in being a big recruiting win early on in Carroll's tenure that, you know, that plays a crucial role. And then Sean Cody's leadership was immense and all those things, probably more so than Cedric Ellis. But Cedric Ellis was such an incredible player up front.
I was Cedric Ellis was it was there was a back and forth in my head about whether or not I should go with Cedric Ellis. Because I love me some Cedric Ellis 100%. I don't think there's a wrong answer with either of these picks.
Do you have a favorite Cedric Ellis play?
Not one that I could describe specifically. I think that I just, my memory of Cedric Ellis is storming into the backfield and taking down a quarterback and then, you know,
I always think of him like sort of, wrestling somebody down to the ground kind of thing.
Nice.
But the play that comes to mind, Fresno State early in the third quarter, Paul Penninger drops back to pass deep in his own end zone, and Cedric Ellis just completely gets all over him and I think bats it down, and the very next play was picked off. Helped set up that huge third quarter for the Trojans. So yeah,
he was a big play dude. He was a big play dude, and it always felt like he had a knack for making the play in the mm-hmm. backfield, whether it was a sack or a tackle for loss, in really critical moments. Like he would make momentum swinging plays.
Yeah,
that's my memory of Cedric Ellis.
Yeah, Greg in the chat says there's never a wrong answer when picking a guy from the Carroll era.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so. I think that either way, whether it's Cody or Ellis, I think that those are good picks.
This exercise actually, I think, is a good example of
sort of the depth.
Well, more so when you look at when you're looking at filling these positions. The other positions, there was a greater mix of contemporary guys like from right now mm-hmm. and Carroll era guys. When it comes to defensive linemen, though, there's one exception, and we're going to talk about him, I think. But like the Carroll defensive lines were just so different in their makeup. They were a step above across the board. You Carroll defensive lines were never just like one really good defensive lineman surrounded by like, you know, a bunch of whatever.
Right.
They were to a man, each one of them, All-American level or, you know, just absolute stars, studs. And the current defensive lines, the defensive lines of the last 10 years, at best, USC has one elite defensive lineman, at best.
Yeah.
And it's very noticeable when you're doing this exercise that USC has had outstanding defensive linemen in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. but they never played, they didn't play together the way that, you know, Patterson and Cody and all of these guys were sort of one after another after another.
I always wonder, what would someone like Feely Molalla be if he played today? Is there a chance where Feely Molalla is sort of, he benefited from being on that 2008 team and had all the guys around him? Or is the inverse possible where he's a superstar?
Would he be the best defensive lineman on this?
Yeah, I don't know. Defense? It could go either way.
It's
right?
hard to say. It is. But
Omar Nizel, another guy.
Yeah.
From Wild Bunch too.
I think it's entirely possible that you plug in any of those guys, the not name household name mm-hmm. defensive linemen from those groups. And I think they make the current defensive line significantly better.
Yeah. Let's go to the other defensive tackle spots. Alicia, we have the same guy.
We do.
You are going Leonard Williams. I am going Leonard Williams.
There was only one answer. Like,
yeah, I said that Cedric Ellis was the best USC defensive lineman I had ever seen until Leonard Williams came around. Obviously, you think of all the big moments that he had. I think it goes down to 2014, that Stanford game where you didn't know if he was going to play. His whole leg was wrapped up a million times over. He had like basically a gigantic cast on his leg. And what did he do? He had like, 11 tackles or some insane thing?
Incredible game. Yeah. Incredible game from Leonard Williams. Just one of those one-off games. He could be an absolute monster in the trenches. And I as good as Sean Cody and Cedric Ellis and Mike Patterson and Greg and Tim in the chat have mentioned Lawrence Jackson, who we didn't even get to, but is another one of my favorites. As good as all of them were, like Leonard Williams is the most dominant defensive lineman I've ever seen with mm-hmm. my own eyes in a USC uniform. And he didn't have the support around him that those guys did. He was always getting double teamed and he still just was absolutely unstoppable. There's no question. He's pick number one for me on this defense.
Yeah. I think it would be incredible to see what he could have done in the Carroll defense. Would he have been just another guy because there were so many dudes, or would he have been clearly obviously the best player on the field? I think it could go either way. We know how dominant he was when he played in the early teens at SC. Let's get to the edge rush spot, the spot that we're calling edge rusher. A lot of calls for Lawrence Jackson in the chat. Greg and Tim are all about Lojack. I really wanted to take Lojack here. Talked myself out of it. Strictly because I wanted more of a edge rushy guy who could be more versatile. You took
Chenanwosu.
Yeah. One of my favorite players of all time.
I took Chenanwosu specifically because we're playing this hypothetical game today. Mm-hmm. We're playing it in this era of football. And I think you need somebody with Chenanwosu's length, with his ability to disrupt a passing attack, not just as a pass rusher, but as somebody who gets his hands up and bats down footballs and can move around and cover a guy if you need him to. I just think the versatility of a Chenanwosu as a converted safety into an edge guy, I love his athleticism to be able to get around the field. I think mm-hmm. that Danton Lynn would have a field day using Chenanwosu in this defense. So
yeah.
There might be grander players at the position, but for my purposes, that's my pick.
Well, given his pedigree from 2-time state champ, Narbonne, I think that it's a great pick there. I, of course, went Brian Cushing. I really wanted to have Lojack in here. If they were, if we were going with two traditional defensive ends, 4-3 defensive ends, it would be BKU and Lojack, 100% for me. Absolutely. No questions asked. And that's even while trying not to give in to how much I loved watching Nick Perry and Everson Griffin. You can make an argument for Morgan Breslin. I like Brian Cushing here as sort of the versatile edge guy who can be sort of all-encompassing. He can be your dude who's going to get in off the edge and get in a quarterback's face. He can drop back into coverage if you need him to. He can do all those sort of things. And that's why I kind of like him in this spot. Plus, we mentioned the elephant man role earlier with Clay Matthews. The spot was first Brian Cushing's in 2006. So that's his spot. I like him as sort of the edge rusher there.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting poll there. I again, as was said in the chat, like, you can't necessarily go wrong with taking the Pete Carroll guys in any of these positions. They played a lot of they moved around in that defense, and they were effective pretty mm-hmm. much everywhere that Pete had them lined up. And they're just really good football players. I think that's yes. what you can say about the defenses of the Pete Carroll era. All of those dudes were just really good football players, and you can fit them in different positions, different roles, ask them to do different things, and they get the job done because they know the game.
Yeah. Let's get to weak side linebacker, the Will. Alicia, who do you got there?
I went with Matt Grootegood.
The All-American?
Yes. I wanted somebody who, like I was saying, just like I sort of wanted a defensive playmaker. I wanted somebody who just has instincts for the game in that position. I think it's mm-hmm. so important to be able to read the game, to get after it, to be somebody who just has a knack for being in the right place.
Yep.
And that's what Grootegood was. He maybe not the best athlete, maybe not like the greatest football player you've ever seen, mm-hmm. but he was where he needed to be. He knew where to find himself on the field to make a play. And that's extremely valuable.
I love that pick so much. I love it. Love it. Love it. Loved watching Grootegood. If you've never seen him play high school football modern day, go look up YouTube. He plays literally every position. He's like basically Paul Hornung on steroids. Not literally. That was Brian Cushing before, but that's a whole different side tangent. Grootegood, great pick. I thought about it. I was tempted, but I'm not picking Grootegood strictly because in my lineup, I think there are two guys who play a similar role to him at different positions. And I worry about them being too similar-ish in how they play and how they are sort of ball hunting guys. I want someone who can sort of do it all at linebacker, which Grootegood could. Led the team in interceptions 1 year. I think he had 6 picks in 2002. I'm going to go with Keith Rivers, number 55. Put him at the Will spot. I like he can play middle linebacker. You can play either outside spot. He is someone who sort of fits in sort of nicely for me. I debated putting him in at the mic, but he's going at the Will.
Keith Rivers is somebody that I wanted to find a spot for in my defense, and spoiler alert, I ended up not finding a spot for him, but that's a great spot for him as well. I totally agree with you. Also want to shout out Tim in LA for the
super chat. Thank you.
I went to Loyola High School and saw a little bit too much of Grootegood back then.
Yeah. Go Cubs.
Cheers. And sorry.
Yeah. Grootegood was my brother absolutely went to Loyola, insane.
But Keith Rivers is also one of my all time favorite dudes. One of the guys, one of the first guys, honestly, that I think of when I think of the 55. Mm-hmm. And could not go wrong with him in that spot.
Another prime example of don't be afraid to give the 55 to a kid coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. I know I don't mean to go in this soapbox every single time, but Junior Seau passed away, and then suddenly everybody got so terrified of, oh my God, his legend, his status as a legend will be questionable if you give it to a freshman. Well, Junior Seau himself gave it to incoming freshman Willie McGinnis.
Yeah.
It was given to Rivers as a freshman. It was given to a bunch of guys as freshmen. Claiborne, like, just give it to a freshman. Like, let mm-hmm. somebody wear that thing with pride and do the thing.
The good thing about college football is if you give it to somebody who isn't living up to the jersey, they won't be wearing it in a while. Like, especially now,
they're going to transfer anyways. Right?
They're going to transfer anyways. I was going to say, like, it's only going to be 4 years that it's sort of locked up with somebody, maybe five. But you're right. Like, it wouldn't even be that if somebody wasn't living up to the 55, I imagine that they would not be sticking around anyways. So there's even less jeopardy in giving it out.
But I would argue that they would say even more jeopardy to why not to do it, which at that point, just retire the
again,
number.
Just then. Retire the damn number.
Yeah.
Or give it out. I hate this limbo.
Yeah, I agree.
Because literally no one's ever going to get it.
Yeah. Let's go to the Mike spots. Who you got at Mike?
All right. I went with Brian Cushing here at Mike. Again, I wanted somebody in the middle of this defense who I knew I could rely on, who would know all of the positions, who would know exactly what everyone's job is, who could make all the plays, who had the toughness, physicality, dependability. I sort of toyed with Ray Mauluga, but my memory of Ray Mauluga is always like incredible, fierce playmaker, but also prone to like a mishap or two.
The Taylor Mays to Ellison
To Kevin
being the Kevin Ellison.
Yes. Yeah. So I just wanted to go with the reliability of Brian Cushing there.
Sure.
And I feel pretty good about him leading my defense as the middle linebacker.
Yeah. I like what you're putting down. I am still going with Ray because I like everybody else. I still was able to find a spot for Cushing and for Rivers. And I think those two guys can play a structured game to allow Ray to do his thing. In addition to, I've got guys on the back end that I'm really excited about, and putting them all together, I think sort of works. Cushing is interesting because he can play every single linebacker position. Would I peg him as the middle linebacker? Maybe not my first thought for him, but he could play any spot. And I think that to your point, like that versatility gives him a hell of a lot of value. Whereas I feel like Ray is basically middle linebacker or else, right? Like that's what he is. He's a middle linebacker. Greg in the chat says, Kaluka Maiava. That's a good option. I think that'd be a good option as sort of a middle linebacker.
Kaluka Maiava, speaking of dudes who would walk into this current defense and just be like the best dude on the defense.
How about Lofa Tatupu?
Lofa Tatupu on this defense. I mean, if
Lofa Tatupu might be like,
I toyed with Lofa,
the biggest snub here.
I love Lofa Tatupu. I did toy with bringing him in as well. He too, if you gave any USC defense of the last 10 years Lofa Tatupu, the defenses would be different.
Where are you on Marcus Steele?
I don't know that I have an opinion about Marcus.
He did. I just looked it up right now. He did play one year eligible here. He did play in 2000, number 55. Okay. Good, not great player. Good, not great player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marcus Steele's crime is
being not
being a good, not great 55.
Is wearing 55 and being not like the all American level that everybody else.
He wasn't Claiborne and he wasn't Rivers. He was between them.
Yeah.
He was perfectly adequate. I think he'd be a
better than Lamar Dawson.
Better than Lamar Dawson. Yes, 100%. All right, let's go to the Sam, the strong side linebacker spot. This was one of my most difficult picks. I don't know about you, but where did you go?
I went Sua Cravens, and that's because I knew I wanted to get Sua in this team. Actually, Sua is one of the first names I wrote down. Because I didn't know where I was going to play Sua. I knew that I wanted him on the field. There were several spots that I thought I could fit him in there if I really needed to, because he's, again, that level of athlete, of player that you make it work with him. I settled on the Sam just because I just think that that's probably the position he's most suited to in sort of the open spots that I have. Yeah. But I had to get him on the field. I had to, it would have been a joy to watch him with the players around him that he would have in this exercise, because he never got that.
I too am going to say Sua for all the same reasons that you're saying. He needed to be on the field for me. I struggled because I thought about putting him at the edge spot, mm-hmm. but was I going to put him over Brian Cushing? No. And did I want to put Cushing at defensive end? No. I thought about putting him at the nickel.
Me too.
I thought about putting him at safety, but my two safeties I feel very good about. It's so difficult because Sua is one of those dudes where he's clearly one of the best 11 defenders that SC has had this century. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of where you're going to put him that makes it difficult.
He's almost too versatile.
Yeah.
In every position, there's somebody who probably fits the mold mm-hmm. more traditionally.
Right.
But when you have a football player like Sua, again, you make room for him. You just have to have him there.
Yeah, and I think that when you talk about the linebackers, I think you could probably shuffle those around. You could put Grootegood at the Will and Sua at the Sam like you did. You could put Sua at the Will and then go with Cushing at the Sam and then move somebody else to the edge spot like I don't know, like Lojack or something. Like there's so many different options here. You can't go wrong. I do think it's going to be interesting because at the end, we're going to basically ask everybody who's listening to this to tell us who has the best team and sort of compare them that way. I don't know who's done this better, but either way, we both settled on Sua Cravens as the Sam linebacker. Let's go to the secondary. First corner off the board for both of us. I'm just going to spoil it. Zadory Jackson, the Thorpe winner.
Okay, corner was the most difficult position mm-hmm. to fill.
Yes.
Because
it's the weakest.
There you don't actually have a lot of great options. The hard part with filling in the front seven is, my God, you have so many options.
Yeah.
There's no problem filling in safety because you've got clear options at safety.
Yeah.
Corner,
I think there's one obvious pick.
I mean, Adoree Jackson is the obvious pick. He, yes. As Sean from Beautiful Austin, Texas in the chat says, Adoree is an all-time great. He is, I think, the best cornerback, pure cornerback that USC has ever fielded. Certainly the best USC cornerback that I have watched play football. So there is zero question about Adoree being the lead corner for this group. It's just been a little bit sort of tricky to decide on who your second corner is and who your nickel is, because there aren't actually that many options. That's not to say that there aren't good options. Mm-hmm. There just aren't obviously great options.
Yeah. You look at the corners of the Carroll era and you could go with Terrell Thomas, Kerry Harris. Mm-hmm. There's one that I might be picking soon. You can go with rights. You can go, like, there's a couple of different rights. You can go with, you know, a bunch of different guys, right?
But the Carroll era corners aren't head and shoulders better than
right. Which
the post-Carroll era corners.
His whole thing, when he got to SC, he wanted to make it DBU.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be all about corners and safeties.
Well, the safeties worked out.
The safeties worked out, but the corners didn't. He got to Seattle and then created sort of Legion of Boom, where it sort of worked out with building the defense from the back there. But SC's defense was sort of built from the front. Let's get to the second corner's position. And I have to say, when you made your pick before
in pre-production,
and we were putting in our teams, and if you're watching and not watching on YouTube, we have some graphics with pictures of the players. I was so mad at who you picked because this should have been my pick. You aced this. Who do you got?
Good old Nickel Roby.
Nickel Roby, the youngster from Florida.
I think that when it came down to it, I toyed with Mekhi Blackmon. I toyed with Terrell Thomas, and Kerry Harris. I sort of toyed with, again, there's a lot of like good corners. Couldn't, you know, they would do the job. But the moment I sort of thought of Nickell Roby, it was pretty much done. It was in terms of anybody sort of matching up with Adoree in terms of ability to play the position at a super high level.
Yeah.
Nickell Roby is that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm lacking a little bit of size, length when it comes to my corners, but I feel very, very good about Nickell Roby being on the field for me, because he just.
I think you can make the argument he might be better suited as a nickel. He was a nickel in the pros.
Yes,
not just because of his name.
I briefly had him at nickel until I decided who I would have at my nickel spot, and that sort of made the decision for me.
Yeah. It's a great pick. It's a great pick. I went with Mekhi Blackmon, who I think is a perfect corner for what you want in today's game. Better size than Nickell Roby. Great athlete, great cover corner. Had a 1 year career at SC, but I think that in this exercise, I think he's someone absolutely who would be on the team. Would he start? I don't know. I'm gonna make that call and say yes. But it would be him or Roby, I think, is the right, like, flip a coin. And you probably get both of them on the field with one of them in a nickel spot. Because Mekhi Blackmon was just solid last year and for SC in 2022, and one of the spots where SC sort of needed to replace him, and they tried to do that with like Christian Roland Wallace and didn't really work the same way. And yeah, Mekhi Blackmon was great.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly strong pick. I was incredibly impressed with Mekhi Blackmon.
Mm-hmm.
It is sad that he is one of the better corners of the past century for USC, and he was only here for a year, but he earned that. He earned that level.
Yeah, Chris Richard, another guy that I debated. But it's just hard. It's hard to compare.
It's hard to separate
2001 Chris Richard.
Yeah.
Or Daryl Rodeau. Those are guys that I think had their moments, but
yeah,
probably not as high of peaks as Nickell Roby or Mekhi Blackmon.
Yeah.
Let's go to the nickel spot. Who are you doing for the nickel?
I went with Deion Bailey.
Wow.
Another one. Where
this is your boldest pick.
This is my boldest pick, but I'll tell you why. Because in today's game of football, you need versatile athletes who can play sort of hybridized roles, who can handle a million different things and do them well. And before there was Sua Cravens, for me, there was Deion Bailey.
Yeah.
And I just think that in that nickel spot, if you're looking for somebody who can use their sort of safety origins to take care of business in coverage in that spot, who will be an asset in run defense, who, again, has that sort of instinctual knack for being where he needs to be, understanding of the field of football and making plays. I think that Deion Bailey is a guy that I hold in incredibly high esteem in terms of his ability to fill in a role.
Yeah.
Many different roles on the football field and do them very well. So I will go to bat for Deion Bailey.
Yeah. Everything we said about Sua Cravens, I think so much of it applies to Deion Bailey.
And there might be a redundancy in having Sua Cravens and Deion Bailey, but again, in this era of football, I don't think you can have enough Sua Cravens, Deion Bailey types on the field for you.
I agree. I think the redundancy that you have could be between Grootegood and Bailey a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that they play a very similar game, because you talk about Bailey came before Cravens. Well, Grootegood became before both of them and sort of did the same kind of thing. I think that realistically, Grootegood was, you know, the size of a safety, but playing as a linebacker and able to go all over the field. And like, that was the way that he sort of operated, was as that sort of rover type of guy, hybrid kind of, you know, playmaker on defense. I like the pick. I like thinking outside the box here. Not who I would have taken, but I respect it. My nickel pick is Rose Bowl hero, Will Poole. Will Poole coming off the edge, the nickel blitz. the picture here on YouTube is him taking down John Navarre. I think John Navarre is still having dreams in the middle of the night, waking up, imagining Will Poole in his face. If you haven't watched the 2004 Rose Bowl recently, go back and watch how incredible Will Poole was. He was, I think he had 2 sacks in that game and a forced fumble, and he was incredible. SC's greatest defensive back blitzer ever. But he was a great corner that year. I thought he was SC's best corner. Great DB, went on in the NFL. I think he played with the Dolphins. I like him to give some versatility here. I think you can make the argument that Nickell Robey might be better suited for this spot. Maybe you swap Blackman and Robey and Poole and you shuffle them up a little bit. I thought about going with another true safety. I debated something like a Kalen Bullock. I debated something like a TJ McDonald's.
I like that idea with Kalen Bullock. Because my complaints about Kalen Bullock were,
some people said he might be a better corner.
More about his coaching and the positions he was put in and what he was asked to do and his ability to do the things that USC needed him to do in light of all of the other fires that needed putting out on that defense.
Yeah.
But if you stick him in there and just in more of just a coverage role, I think that could be. It could be fascinating.
Yeah, it would be interesting. Other guys who I think could have been picked here, Biggie Marshall, Marvell Tell. I think you go with any.
Oh, Marvell Tell's a good pull there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think then you go to any of those other corners of the Carroll era we talked about. T2, Justin Wyatt, Sharice Wright. I think any of those guys could have been there. The nickel spot really is endless. You can go that's so many different directions.
Yeah, you can go a million different
directions. It's like what we talked about in 2016. We talked about on the podcast every single week. SC was either going to have their nickel be Akilah Ross or Leo McQuay, depending on whether they wanted to have a second safety or a third safety or a third corner.
Yes.
And I think you can sort of do that same flexibility. Here we see I go with the third corner.
I go with the third safety.
Yeah, the third safety, essentially, with Deion Bailey. Let's get to safety. Your starting strong safety is
Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, mine too. This is
the easiest pick of all of the picks.
It's the slam dunkiest slam dunk that there is. First guy on the team sheet. You talked about like
the hardest thing with Troy Polamalu is deciding.
Strong or free.
And that was more about who
you paired him with,
I had to have as my other safety. Then it was like, well, which way do I go? But yeah, no, Troy Polamalu, a strong safety, get him close to the line of scrimmage, let him just wreak havoc.
Yes. Easy. I feel bad because we could talk about him forever, but what else is there to say? He is the guy. He's the guy at strong safety. I think it would be fascinating to watch him work in your defense with Grudegood, Cushing, and Deion Bailey. Like, all those guys share the same traits of being like magnetic rovers for the ball. I'm curious to see how that would work. I think it would be super fun to watch. I sort of have the same issue that I'm craving to see on my defense, because we both picked the same guy at free also next to him. Let's just jump to it.
It's Talanoa Hufanga.
Yes.
The one and only. I think that
this is the closest thing to Troy P.
Yes. You cloned Troy Polamalu and then got to put him on the field next to Troy Polamalu.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down their names and then had a moment of like, just like reaching nirvana of just thinking about what a defense would have looked like with Troy Polamalu and Talanoa Hufanga playing together. Like, there are so many combinations of players here that like, just imagining if Sua Cravens had been able to play in a Pete Carroll defense, imagining if, you know, this guy could have played with this guy, all that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of that happens on the offense as well.
Yeah.
not one of them gave me the feeling of unstoppable, just pure football perfection.
Yeah.
Quite the way that Talanoa Hufanga and Troy Polamalu playing together as teammates on a football field would like incites in my imagination.
It is mind-boggling to me. If you would have told me 5 years ago that we'd be doing this and we would not be picking Taylor Mays or Kevin Ellison.
Yes.
I would have like not like believed it at all. Because I think you can make the argument that like Troy Polamalu and Taylor Mays probably the highest peak of whatever like players or whatever, but like Hufanga was that good. It sucks that his final season came during the COVID season. You didn't get to enjoy it enough, but he was so incredibly dynamic and could just do everything. Like go back and watch that season. Like I know nobody wants to, but. And just see how dynamic and how all over the place he was, how he's someone who was like Troy P, who could play up along the line, but also have a knack for like getting a pick in every single game. Because I toyed with the issue, does Troy need to have a center fielder next to him that allows him to have mobility?
Yeah.
Sort of like the inverse of the Taylor Mays, Kevin Ellison dynamic where... Yeah. Kevin Ellison cleaned up everything for Taylor Mays to be the hard-hitting center fielder. And I think the answer is no, because Hufanga and Troy P can both play
both jobs
in coverage. Yeah, yeah, they both can play in coverage. We know that, especially as Troy got into the NFL. We know how good he is dropping back as a deep center fielder as well. So, and we know that Hufanga can do that. They're both quick. Like, I don't think they need a TJ McDonald next to them.
Yeah.
Or they don't need a stalwart like a Scott Ware or something to just do their job next to him and just, you know, open up the rest of the field for them. Put them together and they would just immediately thrive.
Yeah. I didn't think that I would see a defensive player at USC who surpassed Sua Cravens for me in the sense of being by far, without question, not just head and shoulders, but head, shoulders, hips, knees above everybody else that he played with.
Yeah.
And Talanoa Hufanga took that status from Sua Cravens as...
Leonard Williams had it too, yeah.
Yeah, Leonard Williams for sure had it, but the way that Talanoa was a one-man wrecking crew on a defense that...
Mm-hmm.
As we saw in the years since he left, got worse and worse.
Yeah, 100%. He could have been used. All right, let's summarize Team Alicia here. Your defensive end is Clay Matthews. On the defensive line, you have Sean Cody, Leonard Williams, and an edge rusher of Uchenna Nwosu. Your linebackers at the will, Matt Grudegood. Middle linebacker, Brian Cushing, and your strong side linebacker is Sua Cravens. And in the defensive backfield, you've got Adoree Jackson and Nickel Roby at corner. Deion Bailey is your nickelback, and your safeties are Troy Polamalu and Talanoa Hufanga. Any final pitch to make the viewers? The big question is, who has the better team? So make your pitch about why your team is the best team that you've put together here.
My team is a team full of versatile athletes with top tier instincts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you're looking at the modern game of football, having players who can be everywhere on the field, who can cover every inch of grass, who instinctually sort of in their bones know where to make a play, how to make a play. Those are the guys that I prioritized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very confident that if you gave these guys to Danton Lynn, he would get, look at what he did with UCLA's defense last year. To a man, each one of these guys is better than anything he had on that defense. And I think that they would suit stylistically what he wants to set out to do. And I just think that there might be a better 11 in terms of like pure unadulterated talent, but I don't think there's a better 11 in terms of pure football defending ability.
Yeah, I like your ability to craft a team that I think has some choices made, like picking Nwosu and Deion Bailey, I think are choices that I think that are worth arguing for. Don't know that everyone agree. Don't know that I totally agree, but I think that those are choices that I sort of dig there. Let's look at my team. Front, you got Kenichi Udese, Cedric Ellis, Leonard Williams, and Brian Cushing coming off the edge. Linebacking core of Keith Rivers as the Will, Ray Maluga the Mike, and the Sam is Sua Cravens. In the defensive backfields, we're going Odoree Jackson, Mekhi Blackman is the corners, Will Poole at the nickel spot, and the safeties are Troy Polamalu and Talanoa Fongu.
What am I doing? What are you, Brett Musburger?
Yes, I'm Brett Musburger. You know what it was?
Do we need to pick our announcing team for this, for this game?
You know what it was? It was my I'm not dyslexic, but like there's a part of me that thinks that like maybe I could be.
Yeah.
You know how like on TikTok we've all diagnosed ourselves as being ADHD and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Like there's part of me that like I look at I'm looking at the screen where it's got Polamalu and Hufanga, and I read it as Hufangaloo. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
Like different lines. I don't know.
Recently saw a TikTok about a person who has a very debilitating stutter, and they were talking about how to like interact with somebody who's stuttering and what's a sort of kind way to let them know, and appropriate way to let them know that like there's no rush or whatever.
Right.
And ever since I saw that video, I swear I've given myself a stutter. Like I am stuttering, literal stuttering. I'm not saying I have a stutter to the degree that people actually struggle with, but it's been funny how it's been in my head. Like I can feel my brain, not my brain being faster than my mouth can form words, and it's weird. I feel you with sometimes random feelings of dyslexia that aren't really
live radio, baby.
Yep.
I like how my team came to be. I think that there's definitely some choices I made leaving off Lojack, leaving off Taylor Mays. My God, if you put Taylor Mays at the nickel spot in this defense, I don't know, maybe that's the best choice that anyone could have made.
To be honest, I purposefully said no to Taylor Mays because putting Taylor Mays in this simply means that you intend to have to lose a starter to an ejection.
I mean, that's valid. I mean, Ray Maluga's in there too.
I mean, that's a good factor for me leaving Ray Maluga out because I do not know that either of those players could last a half without being ejected in the modern, the modern way that games are refereed.
Yeah. So, I guess my argument for why do you pick my team over hers is I think I made fewer of those critical choices, which might be a little boring. But I think that it's just due to part of such of the wealth of talent that SC has had defensively, particularly in the Carroll era, when you look at the front seven, like you can really have so many dudes, like we talked about. Guys who were left, Lofa Tutupu, we might look at this and there might be a million comments that we get after emails of like, how could you not pick Lofa Tutupu over Ray Maluga? And realistically, that fair enough, that might be the right answer. You know what I mean? Like it is sort of difficult. So give us your emails, randomtroy@fansite.com.
At a certain point, we could have just said, take the 2008 lineup and there's your 11. Just roll with it. Maybe swap out like Adoree in there and just call it a day.
Yeah. The 2008 team, by the way, can you name them all? Top of your head.
No.
All right.
My memory gets worse and worse and worse every year. Let's see. Maluga.
Wait, hold on. Start on the defensive line. Oh, Lord.
Clay Matthews. Lawrence Jackson?
No. He was gone.
See, this is my problem, is I get all those years mixed up, so I can't remember the progression of the defensive linemen.
He's gone. Ellis is gone. Rivers is gone. You can't pick them.
So who are the defensive linemen? Jarrell Casey?
No. I think he would have been there, but he would have been a rotational guy. Like the defensive line is Filimuala, Kyle Moore.
That's right.
You got Everson Griffin at end.
That's another one that could have
Nick Perry.
Nick Perry's on that defense.
I think getting some run. Filimuala, we talked about.
Yeah.
Clay Matthews, your linebackers, of course.
Cushing, Maualuga, and Maiava.
Cushing, Maualuga, Maiava. Then safeties, Ellison and Mays. Corners, I think, are the hardest ones to remember.
I don't remember.
It's Kerry Harris for sure.
Kerry Harris.
Is T2 still there? Is my question.
I don't think.
Is it Kevin Thomas? Might be Kevin Thomas.
It might be Kevin Thomas. I can fact check this.
Fact check it really quick.
Real quick.
Really quick, because we still got Big Ten minutes to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's start Big Ten minutes.
Well, you fact check while I start.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Big Ten Minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to know Indiana.
A Big Ten Minutes.
Kevin Thomas, Kerry Harris.
All right. The University of Indiana is not the University of Indiana. It's Indiana University at Bloomington. That's not it either. Indiana University Bloomington. No ats, ins, whatever. It's just three words. Indiana University Bloomington, known as IU, founded in 1820. As the state seminary. It was Indiana College from 1829 to 1838, of course, in Bloomington, Indiana. The Hoosiers. Lisa, what do you think a Hoosier is?
I've never had to ponder this question. I have no idea. Although I know at fansided.com somebody has written an answer to that question. I wasn't the one who wrote it.
Technically, the answer is a person from Indiana. It's the state's official demonym, meaning like Californian is someone from California, right? Hoosier is someone from Indiana. They're not Indianans.
No, but why is it Hoosier? Like, where does that?
Literally, nobody knows.
Oh, okay.
This is a lot like the Illini thing. It's all hypothetical BS. Nobody actually knows. So no one knows who coined it or what it's supposed to mean. However, John Finley's poem in 1833, The Hoosier's Nest, is often pointed to. But either way, it's not like Sooners. Sooners are the people who like founded or settled the land in Oklahoma when they were like land grants and like opportunities for settlements and stuff like that. It's not like that, but it's similar to Sooners in that if you're from Oklahoma, you can call yourself a Sooner, I guess. It's weird. But they're the Hoosiers. There you go. Let's get to some weird. Last week, we talked about one weird Illinois fact. We've got a slew of weird Indiana facts. This is according to an Indiana University academic bulletin from the Indiana University School of Law in 2002. Alicia, there were some gold mines here. Glorious pulls. Ready? Quote, Bloomington is the mecca for people who love music. Name a style of music and the chances you can see it performed live in Bloomington. From operas at the university's world-famous School of Music to jazz at a local club, Bloomington is a music lover's paradise.
I have never
Sorry, Nashville.
Heard
Bloomington. Memphis, step aside. Motown, nobody wants to hear it from you. New Orleans,
who?
It's Bloomington, Indiana, baby. Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay, Indiana. Okay, sure.
Okay. How about this one? Bloomington has incredible variety of restaurants, including Thai, Japanese, Greek, Moroccan, French, Tibetan, Yugoslavian. Don't know what that means since Yugoslavia doesn't exist anymore.
What is that specific?
Yeah, I don't know. Does that mean Croat? Does that mean Serbian? I don't know. Yeah. Indian, Afghani, West African, Mexican, Italian, Irish, Korean, and, quote, more than a dozen Chinese restaurants.
I mean, there are Thai places everywhere, and that's because the Thai government literally, like, funded Thai food becoming a
thing. I would imagine Thai food in Bloomington, Indiana is quite good. You could not pay me to get a burrito in Indiana. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
By the way, this article from...
Are we about to have another argument about the Mexican food in a place that has nothing on Los Angeles Mexican food?
The School of Law Bulletin, which says that there's more than a dozen Chinese restaurants. I did look it up. There's not a single Panda Express in Bloomington. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a Dragon Express, but not a Panda Express. And then the last little nugget here on this academic bulletin from Indiana University is, quote, while basketball wasn't invented in Indiana, it was perfected here.
I've heard that before.
Alicia, this started me to go into some research. Butler and Indiana have the same number of Final Four appearances in our lifetime, too. And Indiana has not won a national title since 1987. Is Indiana still a blue blood for you? I know we mostly talk about football here, but I don't know because you want a hot take. I think this is insane, and I don't mean to go crazy and get Indiana people in our comments and sound incendiary because that's not us. We're not trying to do that. But is USC in a better position than Indiana is? This century, the Trojans have made the Elite Eight twice. Indiana's only done it once.
Does this not prove my point that USC should take itself more seriously in basketball and stop acting like, we're just a poor little blah, blah, blah. It's like, you can be extremely competitive if you choose to be extremely competitive. Yeah. USC just chooses not to maximize their potential in basketball. But what I'll say is this. I think that there are blue bloods and then there are like historic blue bloods that they don't lose their blue blood status, but they're sort of in
they're dormant
blue bloods. Yeah. But some dormant blue bloods are less dormant than others.
Sure.
And they're still, it's not about what they've achieved. It's about whether or not they're still relevant. So like, for instance, Notre Dame, arguably, they have not had the national title sort of level success.
They've made the playoff, at least.
They have made the playoff, yes. Yeah. But, like, they haven't won very much.
Indiana basketball, to me, feels like...
But,
like Princeton football.
No.
You know what I'm
saying?
I feel
like people talk about Indiana as, like, people still vibe with the Hoosiers. People still see Indiana and associate basketball. I think the
culture and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they're culturally relevant to the sport of basketball.
We knock on UCLA, but like UCLA basketball, because, you know,
I mean, it's been a
famously
since...
one title for the Bruins in the last 45 years or whatever it is.
Yeah. But they're still a blue blood. Like,
but to UCLA's credit, they're always in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
You know I mean?
They're always present. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the fight song, the Indiana fight song. Ready for this?
I am so ready for this.
Indiana, our Indiana. Indiana, we're all for you. We will fight for the cream and crimson. For the glory of old IU. Never daunted, we cannot falter. In the battle, we're tried and true. Indiana, our Indiana. Indiana, we're all for you.
I'm going to say that's a lot more boring than Illinois.
Spoiler alert, come back next week. You might see the most boring.
Oh, okay.
I don't mind this. I think it sounds pretty good.
It's okay.
You got the
I like
the
never
daunted,
we cannot falter.
Yeah. I dig it. Yeah. I like it a bit. You got the name of the state, the name of the, mm-hmm. the school. You got the colors. You even got the letters. Old IU. I dig it. It's all.
That's fine.
It works. All right. Let's get to 3 minutes here. Notable alumni. How about David Anspaugh, the director of the movie Hoosiers and Rudy, also studying at USC. So loves good pretentious
sports movie guy.
Pretentious sports movie. Surprised he didn't make The Natural.
Yeah.
where are you on Hoosiers?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I think I liked Hoosiers. Did not like Rudy. I think Rudy's Rudy. Not great.
I love Rudy.
Hoosiers pretty good. Also, he did study at SC too. Jonathan Banks, Mike Ehrmantraut's.
That's an alum. I'm gonna sit up and listen to the school that has Mike Ehrmantraut as there.
You might want to sit up and listen to Joe Buck, the broadcaster.
Mm-hmm. I know him.
He went to IU. Jeff Sagarin, the statistician, college football pollster, and metric guy. He went to Indiana. How about Will Shorts, the New York Times puzzle maker, the guy who makes the crossword? Makes the mini and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a big fan of the New York Times crossword and all associated games.
Yeah, me too. Mark Cuban, a.k.a. the best shark that there is. Also the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Mark
Good
Spitz.
Guy.
Yeah, Mark Spitz. Olympic hero Mark Spitz.
Olympians, okay.
Yeah, went to Indiana. Okay. James Watson of Watson and Crick. The co-founder of DNA went to Indiana.
I will say Illinois' fight song beat Indiana's fight song by a mile, but Indiana's alumni grouping is far more impressive.
Far more impressive. There's no Hugh Hefner here.
No.
But
no.
We're getting to some biggies like Kyle Schwarber, World Series hero. Also, we ran out of time. Kyle Schwarber.
It's been too much time talking about Hoosiers.
I know. Kyle Schwarber, World Series hero, of course, batted 412 in the famous 2016 World Series. Hoagie Carmichael, the songwriter of Georgia On My Mind. If Sandwiches is on your mind from Hoagie Carmichael, it makes sense. Also, Jared Fuller and Jim Jones. But we won't get into those.
Maybe not.
Notable.
I did just as a complete aside, speaking of bad alumni, I did hear you talking to some friends on a party chat last night about something that I have been thinking about a lot since rewatching The Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we dog UCLA for him being UCLA?
I don't know.
Like, we
Bundy went to Washington.
We should be bringing up Robert Durst went to Michigan? Every time they bring up OJ.
Yeah, Robert Durst.
Yeah.
Anyways,
killed more people than OJ.
Indiana, Jesus, allegedly. Indiana football. By the way, we're over time here, but we're just going to breeze through this. Zero national championships. Two Big Ten titles. Last one in 1967. Trojans 4-0 all time against the Hoosiers, including a 14-3 win over the Hoosiers in the 1968 Rose Bowl with Orenthal James in the backfield. That won USC their second national title under John McKay. Big one, I think sixth all time at the time. Alicia, do you have any USC Indiana memories at all? I've gotten zero.
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 Absolutely zero.
Yeah, the teams haven't met since the early 1980s. Last time they did meet, Lee Corso was the head coach of the Hoosiers. Yeah, that Lee Corso. By the way, 1981, Marcus Allen set a career high with 274 rushing yards on 40 carries at Indiana. He would eclipse that a month later and get 289 yards at Washington State, but at home against Washington State. The 274 rushing yards at Indiana, the most by a USC rusher, and this is the most niche stat of all time, on a opposing USC campus. Why? Because Ricky Bell's 347 yards against Washington State, technically a neutral site game because it was in the Kingdom in Seattle, not in Pullman. Not really a neutral site, but whatever. And USC will not be facing Indiana until 2026 in Bloomington and then at home in 2027. So there you go. Current head coach is Kurt Cignetti, formerly of James Madison. This will be his first year for the Hoosiers. They went 3-9 last year after firing Tom Allen. So we'll see what happens with the new JMU staff going over to the Hoosiers. So there you go. A big 14 minutes or whatever that was.
Yeah, definitely went over 10 minutes.
We need to get better at that. All right. Let's wrap this up with a quick mailbag.
You've got mail.
Greg, which front seven are you taking, 2004 or 2008? 2004. You got Sean Cody. You got Lojack, Frosty Rucker, Mike Patterson, Grudegood, Rivers, Tatupu. Who are you taking? 2008, we talked about earlier.
I think I'm taking 2004 for the defensive line. I think line.
Individually,
yeah.
2004 had better players.
Yeah.
I think 2008 was better. I think the difference also is at safety.
Yeah.
The 2004 safeties, Bing and, was it Bing and Ware? Bing and Leach? I don't think it was Leach. I think it was Bing and Ware. Fine. Nothing against them. They're not Mays and Ellison.
Yeah.
And they're also not Polamalu and who was next to Polamalu off the top of my head. I can't remember. Leach? Leach took over for Polamalu at one point. Either way, I think I take the individual players of 2004 because that defense individually was just incredible. If you could take the front seven of 2004 and the back half, the secondary of 2008, or really, you take the front seven, the defensive line of 2004, the linebackers of 2008, and the secondary of 2008, or even the secondary of the 2014, I think that would be insane. 2013?
Mm-hmm.
2013, yeah. I mean, not quite the same way. You still want one of those great playmakers because 2013, you didn't have Sewer Cravens playing safety. Well, 2013 he was, but not by 2014. Tim in LA says, and did anyone get a tiny Denzel effect from the fight song reading? I didn't try to be. I worry about doing a Denzel might not be too great and maybe potentially problematic if you catch my drift there. But I could maybe do it. I don't know that I want to do it on a pod though. But wasn't trying. If it came across, cool. I'll take it. By the way, last little thing here before we leave. Favorite line from Remember the Titans?
There are so many.
I think for me, we will do up downs until blue is no longer tired.
And thirsty.
And thirsty, yeah. See, I can't do it.
I think it's got to be attitude reflect leadership, Captain.
He's from California.
But California. California.
Yeah.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
Yeah.
I was watching the Fallout TV show. The Fallout TV show. And they use the they're gonna put me in the movies and all I could think about was does the term cruel I in my head I had Ryan Gosling just in front of me just like going like hey how about this one
great movie. I'm still shocked that Jake didn't watch it until like 2 months ago
and
unbelievable.
Yeah,
since then we've stopped talking to our friend
James. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back next week to talk about the offense. We'll pick our offense. Again, send us your emails. Put it in your comments. Call us 818-643-7227. Let us know who had the best dream team on defense. Next week, we're going to talk about the offense. And then we're also going to get to know Iowa. So get ready for that. So until next time, we will see you. See ya. See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.